obligations on all three of our frequencies. Iowa State women playing on 1600 AM, the UNI men coming your way on the FM frequency. Stick around tomorrow. We'll hear from the MVP of last night's game, Iowa running back Akram Wadley. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be sitting in for Alex all day as well. And we'll even talk some hoops with Mac McCausland. Nate Stanley talking about a number of things there, including Akram Wadley's performance, as well as he also addressed the playing field conditions at Yankee Stadium, which were less than ideal for a football game last night. But there's only so much you can do, especially when it's as cold as it was. And talked about it for quite a while leading up to the game. It was, as promised, an open-air press box last night. I was in the front row, which would have been a great seat in May for a baseball game last night. They had no heaters in the front row, as opposed to the second and third row of the press box. Not going to lie, I got up and walked around a little bit, try to keep the blood flowing to the appendages, the lower extremities. But I made it through. No frostbite. Still have all 11 fingers and 10 toes. I'm good to go.
Your comment about the heaters just reminded me of something, and you were on site, so maybe you can answer this. I didn't see anything. There was one point in the game where there was smoke billowing from one of the sidelines. Can you tell me what that was?
They had some portable heaters there, and I don't know whether they were not functioning very well or it was just a product of how cold it was, but I think two or three times during the game I saw them. They had one, and maybe it's the same heater, and they had just moved it to the end zone, which would have been right behind home plate, closest to us. But maybe they were working on it or something, but they fired that baby up a couple times, and it looked like there was a prairie fire, like the grass was burning. Disco demolition night at Old Comiskey Stadium in Chicago, but they definitely put the warmers to good use on the sidelines last night. The players couldn't get those coats on fast enough for the championship tees. They were throwing everything out, hats and scarves and stocking caps, new era champions, and lots of the players. James Daniels may still today be walking around with the – it was a large cardboard cutout. It had the Pinstripe Bowl logo on it, and it had the word champions. And it was from the trophy ceremony presentation. And he was carrying it with him under his arm, tucked under his arm like a football during the post-game news conference. And I don't think he was going to give it back to the bowl game. Even if somebody asked him for it, I think he was going to try to squirrel that away and bring it back with him as a souvenir. But one of the two Hawkeyes that will have a big decision to make. Nothing formal out of either camp yet, James Daniels and Josh Jackson, most likely. We'll test the NFL waters and go to the draft. We've had a couple people ask about something we talked about last night on the program, and that was Kirk Ferentz getting emotional as he talked about what this win means. In particular, not for himself, although we'll get to that in just a little bit, because he did tie Hayden Fry last night for the school's all-time wins in football at 142. But you can hear it here. He does get a little verklempt talking about the guys that have been here for 4 or 5 years, the guys who hadn't won a bowl game, and what this means to them.
For the seniors, they've been a part of, you know, really the last 3 years, what they experienced in 2015 and how they kind of rebuilt your program in some ways, and then now to share this moment with them. What was that like for you after the game?
The best part of what we do is the players, you know. And by my count, it's 28 wins for these guys the last 3 years. So, you know, I think the thing that makes it better than anything is just, again, the ups and downs that we went through. And we've had some bumps in the road, some disappointments, that type of thing. But these guys kept pushing forward. Certainly there were some times this year where everybody could have gotten discouraged. But, you know, I give those guys a lot of credit. We've got a lot of underclassmen doing a good job, too. But the guys in that whole group have just pulled together collectively. They've been good to work with since January, outstanding to work with. And, you know, it's easy to talk about a guy like Josie Jewell, easy to talk about, you know, Neiman, who plays a little bit more quietly, you know, Akram, a marquee guy. But, you know, you think about guys that were injured, you know, Miles not being out there, certainly Boone and Ike. That's tough. And a guy like Dan Gaff, who just works his tail off, I mean, all the time. you know, on the scout team. So, you know, that's the neatest thing about football. We have such a large, diverse group, and you know, when those guys are working together, it's just it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, it's always tough to say goodbye to your senior class. That's for sure.
You heard it there, especially right at the beginning, where he starts to get choked up a little bit, and he has the numbers. He knows the numbers. He knows how many wins that senior class has accounted for. And there aren't a whole lot of people talking about throwing Kirk Ferentz overboard today, because Iowa finishes with 8 wins and finishes on a high note with a bowl victory. Had they lost, you'd have people, I think, clamoring to get rid of him, and you'll probably still have I think as long as he's Iowa's coach, you're going to have a number of people that are maybe saying it's time for a change. But I think I mentioned this earlier in the program. I flew out from Chicago to LaGuardia on the 25th, and Noah Fant's parents happened to be in line behind me, and I didn't know them. He just had an Iowa jacket on, and so I started making small talk, assuming that he was going to New York for the bowl game, and eventually introduced himself as Noah's father. And we were talking about the Iowa program, and Noah Fant's an Omaha kid, and not necessarily a born and bred Hawkeye fan. And one of the big reasons that Noah Fant came to Iowa was Kirk Ferentz. Loves Kirk Ferentz. Family loves Kirk Ferentz. And I think when you get a chance to be around him and you get him in somebody's living room, that's really where he makes the case for coming to Iowa. And he's been at the helm for 19 years. He's got the same amount of wins as Hayden Fry, and there's a statue of Hayden Fry on the way into Coralville. And I think there's going to be a statue of Kirk Ferentz someday. I really do, sooner rather than later. Maybe it's going to be outside the Children's Hospital and not outside Kinnick Stadium because of what he's meant to other aspects of the university. But the guy gets it, and that was a good example last night. And I want to play this this clip where he's asked about the bowl losing streak, because if I recall correctly, he also gets a little bit emotional. It's either this clip or the one about Hayden Fry, but this is Kirk talking about what it meant to get that monkey off of the program's back last night. They had not won a bowl game since the Insight Bowl in December of 2010 when they beat Blaine Gabbert and Missouri in Tempe.
How big a deal was the bowl losing streak, and what kind of difference does it make? This is the first time since 2010 you ended your season with a victory. Is that a big deal?
That's probably a bigger deal, quite frankly. None of these guys had anything to do with the games that we haven't won. So it's kind of like, you know, every game's a new discussion, every season's a new discussion, but one thing that is good is when finishing with a win. I don't think there's any question about that, and it's a couple levels. First of all, most importantly, is to give those seniors that we referenced a little while ago, give them a really good memory to leave on. And I don't think there's a college player that doesn't remember their last game, whether it was a bowl game or they didn't get a chance to play in one. So that's really special. And then, you know, what it does in terms of hopefully, teaching the younger guys, you know, just the value of doing all the things you have to do during the month of December to get ready for a bowl game. So hopefully we'll reinforce that, and maybe next year when we talk about it, assuming we can earn a bowl invitation again, maybe it'll have a little bit more meaning, a little bit more gravity.
All right, I got to play this one too last night, because I made note in my notebook that this one sort of leaped out at me because of one line in particular, and I think you'll know which line I'm talking about, but this is Kirk Ferentz summing up last night's game in the grand scheme of things, the 2017 season encapsulated by Iowa's Pinstripe Bowl victory over Boston College. Enjoy.
Kirk, you kind of mentioned that this game was almost a symbol of your season in some ways. At halftime you're outgained by about 200 yards. But what does it say about the perseverance of your team this year that it can come back, make plays, and everybody who had made plays all year, Nathan Stanley's up, you know, threw a touchdown pass, what Akram did, Anthony Nelson, Josie Jules all over the field again, Josh Jackson. Yeah. What does it say about your team and the perseverance they had?
I was never a very good player, but one thing I have a lot of experience at is getting my ass kicked. Okay, so I've been through that several times professionally. What you learn is you just go back and go back to work. So Whether it's a game we lost or whatever, you got to turn the page and focus on what's in front of you. And I think that's what our team did at halftime. We were not playing our best football, and they were playing very well. But it was a one-score game at that point. We had the ball. We had a chance to get right back in it. But clearly we had to change our tempo and demeanor a little bit. And I think our guys just made up their minds to do that. And that's the good thing about sports, about life. As long as you're alive, you get to fight another day. And fortunately, our guys made up their minds to be a little bit more determined in that second half.
I think Kirk Ferentz was an all-academic Yankee Conference linebacker at UConn. So he's downplaying his success as a college football player a little bit there. But I love that line. I'm a guy who knows what it's like to get my ass kicked. And he does. I go back to 1999. I mentioned it in last night on the post-game show. And today, win number 143, if it comes in the season opener next September, is going to be against Northern Illinois. And that was win number one in 1999 when he took over for Hayden Fry. And it was the only win that season. And he was coaching without a contract. And there was a feeling that perhaps Bob Bowlesby had erred in not being able to convince Bob Stoops to come to Iowa City. And as long as Kirk Ferentz didn't have a contract, maybe you just walk away. And that was a very ugly time in Iowa football. And Kirk Ferentz kept his head up, persevered, and those guys had a plan. They got the kids to buy into it, and they stuck with it. And 2 years later, they had gone from one win to three wins and a couple Big Ten wins to 7-5 and beating a Mike Leach-coached Texas Tech team in the Alamo Bowl. Mike Leach, I don't know if you saw it or not, blowing on his coffee during a joint press conference with, I believe it was Mark D'Antonio, who was on the dais with him, and just seemed oblivious that the cameras were on him. He was focused on trying to cool down the coffee in front of him. I know I've been accused a number of times of having a man crush on Mike Leach in this program. I find him to be a very interesting guy. What's not interesting right now is the Camping World Bowl. I wish Iowa State were playing in this game and not taking on Memphis, because I think Memphis is a 3.5-point favorite for a reason, with it being a home game. And don't sleep on Memphis. And maybe I'm just saying that because I hear Alex building them up all the time, but that's going to be a really tough game for the Cyclones. I think if you put them up against a Virginia Tech in the Camping World Bowl, which is where Iowa State fans were hoping Iowa State would wind up, I think maybe it'd be a little bit more interesting than 13-7 right now. The third quarter just underway in Orlando, one of several bowl games being played tonight. And throughout the weekend, we'll have many of them for you right here on KGYM. Check out our website, kgymradio.com. While you're there, you can vote in our poll question today. Who or what will you remember most about the 2017 Iowa football season? 319-366-1600. Emil's Hideaways on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. Josh Jackson is a possibility. Josie Jewell, both those guys unanimous and consensus All-Americans. The big wins over Ohio State and Nebraska are on there. The frustration of the yo-yoing back and forth, the inconsistency, that's an option. And we even say, hey, if you want to say it's the Children's Hospital wave, you can vote for that as well. They did the wave last night at Yankee Stadium, not the wave, the Iowa wave, in between the first quarter and second quarter there, and a nice touch that they're recognizing it at the bowl game, as well as we've seen some teams do it on the road when Iowa was away from Kinnick Stadium. Look, it was an okay venue for a football game. I know what Randy Levine, the president of the Yankees, says, and I don't care what he says about Newt Rockne, and they've had Notre Dame play in that bowl game before, so if it's good enough for Notre Dame, why wasn't it good enough for the Iowa fans? You have to understand the psyche of a fan base, and I think, I've been around Iowa fans for my whole life, and I think I understand that sometimes you can have a decent 7-5 season, and sometimes you can have a not so decent 7-5 season. This just was one of those not so decent 7-5 seasons. Now, if the team gets off to early struggles and say they start the year 2-3 or something like that, and then they finish up and they only lose one of their final games down the stretch, okay, you buy into that. They may not have won 9 or 10 games, but you buy into the momentum that creates, and you're probably selling some more tickets at that point. Iowa goes from clobbering Ohio State to 66 yards of offense against Wisconsin to an inexcusable and still to me inexplainable loss to Purdue at home, to going on the road and plastering Nebraska by 50. I mean, it's just maddeningly inconsistent, which, by the way, I know we haven't mentioned this a whole lot today, but Alex did bring it up. Alex Halstead at 24/7 Sports. Nebraska quarterback Tanner Lee leaving early for the NFL draft. So perhaps accelerating the timeline for new Nebraska coach Scott Frost to shape the program. And I have to admit this. Sometimes you brain fart. And I'm walking through the terminal today, and I guess it was just a happenstance because I don't think any of these three people were traveling together, but I saw three people in relatively close succession wearing Nebraska clothing. And in the back of my mind, I'm so used to traveling in late December and early January, and you see people going to bowl games, that for a split second I was trying to remember which bowl game Nebraska was. And that's not a troll. I saw three people wearing Nebraska stuff, and I was like, oh, you know, where are they headed again? That's right, they're not going to a bowl game this year. But again, not trolling Nebraska, that's just where my mind goes when I see multiple people wearing stuff in the airport this time of year. There were some Alabama fans that were in Chicago getting ready to fly out, and you see it quite often. And saw quite a few people with Tiger Hawks today, more so today in Chicago at Midway than I did in Manhattan the couple days that I was there. And again, you can't deny that this bowl didn't have much of an appeal for luring Iowa fans from the Midwest. What you did have was a number of alums who are living in New York and Boston and Washington, D.C. They came in on the train, came down on the bus, whatever, for the game. Saw a couple people that I knew in the stands last night. The Hawkeye fans, even though they were outnumbered by Boston College fans, seemed to be having a good time. And not necessarily an overly good time. I think some of them have had a grin permanently frozen on their faces, but they warmed up, especially as the final seconds of that game ticked away. And the Hawkeyes, I've seen a lot of happy teams before, but that team and that group of seniors may have been the happiest that I've ever seen, because they helped to exercise that. And what did I say last week? I said, if they lose this game, we're going to be talking about it for 3 or 4 months, and it's going to get ugly. And so they dodged a major bullet last night, beating Boston College 27-20. Kyle's going to get you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. We've got a couple minutes to go here before we hit 6:30 and leave you for a Thursday evening. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa beat Boston College last night 27-20 in the Pinstripe Bowl to snap its 5-bowl losing streak. Akram Wadley was the MVP of the game, playing near his hometown, and he had nearly 300 all-purpose yards, including an average of 34 yards on 5 kick returns, as well as a touchdown coming on the ground. Iowa was outgained in the first half, 281 yards to 56, but flipped that in the second half, holding a 144-102 advantage in the second while forcing 3 turnovers. The Hawkeyes finished the season 8-5, and Kirk Ferentz also tied Hayden Fry's record for all-time wins at Iowa. The Hawkeye community will now turn its attention to basketball, where another blow was dealt to freshman guard Connor McCaffrey. Just a few weeks after recovering from mononucleosis, on Wednesday morning he underwent a tonsillectomy and is out once again for an indeterminate period of time. Catching up on a few things on the women's side of things, Megan Gustafson was named the Big Ten Player of the Week for the fourth time in the season's 7 weeks. She still leads the nation with 12 double-doubles, but there's some bad news, however, as starting guard Mackenzie Meyer is going to be out indefinitely with a broken hand that she suffered just yesterday. That comes just as the Hawkeyes open Big Ten play tonight at Wisconsin. And we've got a couple of other teams opening their conference schedules tonight. We'll be wrapping up our show in just a few minutes. And on 1600 AM, we'll have the Iowa State women hosting Kansas. And we'll also have the UNI men hosting Southern Illinois on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And it's a tough blow for Meyer. Iowa sent out a press release. It is the fourth metacarpal in her left hand. The Mason City native, starting all 13 games this year, averaging just over double digits at 11.3 points, 5 assists, and 1.7 rebounds, shooting 46.8% from the field and 41.3% from beyond the arc. So you add her in with Tania Davis, a major blow indeed. The Hawkeyes getting ready to tip off the Big Ten season. From the women's perspective tonight, 7 o'clock at the Kohl Center, the Iowa men began Big Ten play in early December. You may or may not remember the Indiana and Penn State games, but Iowa already 0-2 in Big Ten play, and the losses may come a little bit easier if Connor McCaffrey is indeed redshirted. It certainly sounds like Fran McCaffrey and the coaching staff is leaning in that direction, and that's going to, I think, make getting people interested or keeping them engaged in the Big Ten season, especially if they drop a couple early games, extremely difficult because they have their backs against the wall right now. It would take a tremendous run in the Big Ten schedule just to get back within reach of the NCAA tournament bubble, let alone the NIT. And now you're going to say, okay, well, Connor McCaffrey can't go, so we're back to the original plan where he medically redshirts. That would probably affect him on the baseball diamond as well, so it's not ideal for the young man whose father also happens to be the head coach of the basketball team. It's just, it's going to be one of those stories that we'll keep an eye on as it develops. But Fran McCaffrey did have that teleconference earlier today, and reading between the lines, it looks like Connor McCaffrey is going to redshirt this year. Join us tomorrow. We are ducking out a little early for the Iowa State women and the UNI men tonight. Tomorrow's program, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com with me for the duration of the program, I believe, filling in for Alex. We'll talk with Pinstripe Bowl most valuable player Akram Wadley, and our old pal basketball analyst Mac McCausland will be with us as well. That's going to do it for a Thursday night. Appreciate you being along with me and Kyle, and hopefully we hear from you tomorrow.
We now leave regular ESPN programming to bring you this live sports presentation on 1600 ESPN Radio.
Today. Ethanol is made up of more than just corn. It's made up of heart, the heart and soul of every farmer and ag supporter out there who believes in energy independence for our nation. Poet Biorefining in Gowrie, Hanlontown, and Jewell offer a variety of specialty contracts. Plus, Poet is always working to give you the best possible price for your corn. Visit Poet.com to get details and the latest corn bids from the friendly folks at Poet Biorefining in Gowrie, Hanlontown, and Jewell. And thanks for helping America replace foreign oil with homegrown ethanol.